Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Sweet.
Okay.
Do we have more?
Okay.
I'll go first. You can go second.
Okay, the question is...
Ladies first.
Go ahead.
The question is, how do you live missionally on your campus? We're actually... what's the word? We're sandwiching Karen. Aaron's going first. Karen's in the middle, so she's not going last. And we're back. All right. So, Reed.
Okay. To me, a key factor in missional living is communicating love to your friends. And something that we have to understand about communicating love is that our ability to communicate love to people is directly related and directly increases with our knowledge and understanding of the particular person that we're trying to reach out to. So, for example, with my mom, I know my mom very well because I spend a lot of time with my mom. I hang out with my mom a lot. Let's say it's my mom's birthday and I want to bless my mom. I've got a couple options. I can get her a box of chocolates, or I could sit and watch a football game with her. Now, I know that every time my mom gets a box of chocolate, she always says, oh, I hate chocolate. It just makes you fat. It's a waste of calories. Stupid chocolate. I don't want to eat any chocolate. Why do people give me chocolate? But if I sit and watch football with my mom, I don't understand this at all. We could sit there and not say a word the entire time, but she always talks about how thankful she is that I spent time with her and that I sat and I watched this football game with her. Doesn't make any sense to me, but I know that... That means a lot to her because she has explicitly stated it to me. So my understanding of what is important to my mom and my understanding of what matters to my mom is key in my ability to communicate her love. Because I may be very sincere in my desire to bless her, but if in trying to bless her I get her a box of chocolates, that's not going to go over well with her because she doesn't like chocolates. Okay, this brings up a key point then, because we need to understand our friends. We need to get to know our friends. So how do we do that? How do we study our friends? How do we understand them better? And to me, there's basically two ways. You can either actively ask questions to them directly and about them, or you can passively observe them and notice what is important to them and pay attention to detail. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get there in a second. Asking questions. I would challenge you to get on Google and Google some conversation starters. Google icebreakers. Learn how to ask good questions of people and do it in a way that is genuine. Literally, like I have like 20 or 30 conversation starters just memorized in my head that I can just use with people so that I can get to know them better. For example, on my college, a question that I like to use a lot of times is, what are you looking forward to the most in the next month? Whether I'm talking to like a super artsy female coworker at my dining center or whether I'm talking to some pot-smoking jock that lives down the hall from me, they're both going to be able to answer that question, and it's going to tell me something about what they value. Because maybe your friend says, I got the lead role in this play, and I'm really excited about it. Okay, so now you know that this play that they're in is important to them. So what should I do consequently? Well, maybe I need to clear time in my schedule so that I can be free to go see them in this play and cheer them on because it's important to them, so it's going to be important to me so that I can communicate love to them because, hey, I'm caring about what they care about. I'm caring about what matters to them. So you can ask questions. Then you can, I say passively observe, but it's really an active observing, because it's going to require us to pay attention to detail. Pay attention to detail to the point where we can pick up on the things that matter to our friends. Couple examples. This dude on my hall wears flip-flops every single day of the year. It could be 20-degree weather, and he'd be riding his bicycle, but he'd have flip-flops on every single day, without fail. So we're sitting in the lounge one day, and he kicks off his flip-flops, and like I notice that they're the bristly kind, and they're broken because they've been worn down from constant use. So I say, hey, what happened to your flip-flops? Let me see them real quick. Did they break or whatever? But really, I was just doing that to find out what the shoe size was, because I was going to buy him a new pair of squishy, comfy flip-flops, because flip-flops are what is important to this dude. And as goofy as that sounds, like, this dude loves flip-flops, so I'm going to bless this dude with some flip-flops. Now, if I wanted to bless Karen or Mark, I would not get them flip-flops, because they don't care about flip-flops. I wouldn't get flip-flops for Bob, because Bob doesn't care about it. Okay, actually, I'm going to get them both flip-flops after this. But, anyways, you get the point. You care about what is important to other people. A couple more examples real quick. My roommate, he clearly hates taking out the trash. How do I know this? Because I come into the room every single week, and I observe that the trash can is 4 feet tall. Piled high with trash, there's trash in his bed, there's trash on his desk, empty soda cans, trash underneath the sink, trash in places that just absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so this dude hates taking out the trash. Well, that's now an opportunity for me to provide an extra blessing for him, because like taking out the trash for him as is not my responsibility, so it would already be a blessing, but it's magnified by the fact that I've observed that this dude hates taking out the trash. So he's like super blessed by the fact that I take out the trash for him. Some people wouldn't really mean that much to him, but to that dude, I know it does, because I've talked to him about it and I've heard it from him, and he's very thankful for it. One other thing, another example. In passing, I'm just talking, and one of the things that is most powerful in communicating love sometimes is just listening to people and just asking them genuine questions and caring about them and paying attention to them. But my roommate made this off comment about how he like loves orange slices, and orange slices are his favorite candy ever. So anytime somebody says something is their favorite thing ever, just like have that in note and put it in the back of your head and keep that, because anytime you want to bless that person, oh dude, I'm rolling down to the CVS and I'm picking him up some 99-cent orange slices, because that's what he loves. So that's what I'm going to get for him. Now, as we study our friends and as we learn about them, one thing that I would encourage you, if you are really actively going after your friends and you're learning about them, you're going to start getting a lot more information than you can remember off the top of your head. So I would get a whiteboard, I would get a notebook, I would open up a Microsoft Word document or an Excel document, and I would start writing the stuff down, because you're not going to remember it all. Literally, like, you know, you get like 6,000 prayer requests or whatever, you say, oh yeah, I'm going to pray for that, but then, you know, you forget. Okay, the way I remember is I write it down on a whiteboard so that, you know, I've got it there, I know I'm going to pray for it, and a week later I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask them about it. Otherwise, I'm going to forget it. It sounds creepy, but to me, like, you'd be creeped out. Some people, like, I have Word documents with your name on my computer, but exactly, and they haven't found it yet. So, but here's the distinction. It's creepy or caring. Like, to me, it's like, I really care about the person, and so I want to get to know you, and I want to get to understand you so that I can communicate love effectively to you. So that's what I've got. Karen's love. Say again?
Give us two more
icebreaker questions. Here, real briefly, and me don't go in the same sentence. Okay, another one that I might use is very similar to the first one, but what is the coolest thing that has happened to you in the last week? Again, that will give you what's important to them. And they may say something like Halo, and you're like, oh, like, what am I supposed to do with that? He likes a video game. I don't know what to say to that. I can especially relate to the girls who are like, I don't understand this at all. But again, if you just even care and say like, okay, well, have you made any like sick, nasty plays in Halo lately? You will get an answer to that if you ask guys. So again, listening and caring. And then, I don't know, for me, like, it depends on how well you know the person in terms of how deep of a question you're going to ask them. You know, if I've just met Cody for the very first time, I'm not going to ask him like, what is the most meaningful thing that's ever happened in your life? That might be a little bit too deep. But a great thing to ask about is like siblings and family. You know, do you get along with your family well? Is it like, hoorah, I love my family? Or is it like, ugh, I hate family. Family's awkward. Like, what is it like? So you start asking them questions about different things in their life so that you start to understand, oh, you know, hey, they love their siblings. Well, what does that tell me about them? Or, oh, they hate their siblings. They don't get along with their family. What does that tell me about them? Et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know. Is that satisfactory, Bob? Okay.
All right. Some things that God's taught me about missional living this semester, and it's been in my heart. I know we all have kind of crazy busy schedules. Like, I know in high school, just like classes and work, and then sometimes like sports teams afterwards, just all this extra stuff. It gets kind of crazy. But just like despite of our busy schedules, looking for God working, like where is God working today? And just making time for other people through your busyness. I know just looking back from this summer and this semester, like I can look back and regret like some opportunities I missed with people just because, oh, I was busy. I had to go to the library and study. I was really focused on what I was planning on doing that day, and I missed an opportunity to encourage a friend or talk to somebody. But early this semester, I was reading through the book of Acts, and in Acts 16, it gives a couple of different examples of Paul said he's going off to find a quiet place to pray, like outside the city, and that's like an awesome thing to do. But on the way, he met with different people on, like on the road to that place. And one example was when he ran into Lydia on the way, and he took the time instead of just focusing and being like, no, God, I put aside this time to pray, which is awesome. But he took the time and recognized the opportunity that God put in front of him to talk to this lady and some other of the women there. And Lydia ended up accepting Christ. So after reading that, I just felt convicted. And I was like, God, what opportunities am I missing every day? Just like throughout my day, like when I have my schedule planned, what people am I missing to talk to? Because I'm so focused on my plans. One verse that I really love is 2 Timothy 4:2. And it says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So I just encourage you all, throughout your day, just look for ways to share Christ's love with other people around you. And just look how you can encourage the people around you also. And let this be your focus. And when you wake up each morning, you know what you're planning on doing that day. But ask God, God, what are you, where are you working today, and how can I join in on that? And also just in your workplace or in your school, just try to look, let that be your, let other people be your focus, and look for ways to just share Christ's love with others. So,
I've kind of got a smattering of things, but I think one important thing is, I was thinking about it, is place yourself in a position to be effective. When you're thinking about, you know, when you're making plans, you know, for me, like I was thinking past couple months, like I really want to get back into soccer because I've been running a lot, but I haven't been playing soccer, which is my favorite sport. And so, and thinking about it, I was like, okay, I can just go and find a team with people I know that I'm comfortable around, or I can join a team of people who I know don't know Christ and ask God to use it. Well, if I'm going to live missionally, I need to go find people that I don't know, and kind of get out of my bubble, you know, get away from the people that I know so well who are believers and start meeting people who don't know Christ. So when you're planning, you know, what you're going to do, you know, even for a semester, for a year, take into account, am I doing something where I'll have opportunities to meet new people or to serve those who don't know Christ yet? Because if you just kind of do it what you feel comfortable with, you're probably not going to end up finding a lot of opportunities to serve and minister. And another really important thing that I've found just in hanging out with people who don't know Christ or talking about spiritual things is you have to be humble, and you have to be open-minded. It's funny, I'll be talking, I have a friend who's Muslim. I agree with him more sometimes than I do with friends who are like Catholic. And I mean, he just has some great insight. And it really goes far in a relationship with someone when you can encourage them and be like, that was a really great point. I can't tell you how many times I've just seen someone kind of light up when I can encourage them on like, that's really cool. And I think we have a tendency, like if someone isn't a Christian or like doesn't share like our specific set of beliefs, that we kind of want to downplay everything they say that comes from their spiritual beliefs. But a lot of times they'll have things to say that are actually important and true, and they line up perfectly with Scripture. And I think it's important to establish a deeper relationship with people by being able to encourage them and not disagree with them all the time. And I know for a long time it was kind of my tendency. If I didn't believe the same way you did, I'd just kind of throw away everything I heard. Now I'm realizing that's really stupid because I've learned things about Christ that I didn't know from people who don't know Christ. And really, if you come into it with the attitude of like me versus you, or I'm better, or I have something to say, you're going about it all wrong, because honestly, it's God who's going to change their heart, and they need to hear from God, not really from you or from me. And just kind of along with that, it's not on our own merit that we're saved. We aren't saved because we're so good or because we deserve to have a relationship with God. It's based on God's mercy and his forgiveness and his love. And he has that same love and mercy for everyone on earth. So it's not our place to just kind of come in like guns blazing, like, I got this and I'm awesome, because God's awesome, not me. The next question is, if you could go back and do things differently in high school based on what you know now, how would you live differently in high school?
For me,
this may sound like a vague cop-out answer, but let me explain it real quick. I would have accepted the mission, and not only would I have accepted the mission, but I would have fully embraced the mission, and I would have been all about what God is calling me to do in my life. Here was my problem when I was a freshman in high school, 14 years old. One, God didn't seem real or powerful. Two, everybody seemed like they had their lives all together and everything was working out great for everybody else. And then three, my life was incredibly broken. So I was not in a situation where I was going to try to help out other people or reach out to other people. My solution was basically, I'm going to sit in my bathroom and listen to angry music all day because I like how these people are talking about how life is broken because I can relate to it. And then I'm going to play video games because I want to be in a fantasy world. I don't like the world that I'm living in, so I want to get into another world. 6 or 7 years later now, I've seen God work in my own life to change me, and I've seen him guide me. So I have great confidence that he's real now. And I've talked at a deep enough level with enough people to realize that every person in this room and every person on the face of the planet is incredibly broken and is absolutely in need of a savior. Whereas I had no idea about that when I was 14 years old. Thought everybody had it all together. And then finally in my own life, my life is still just as broken in some ways as when I was 14, but I've realized that God can heal me in very tangible ways. So now I see God as real and powerful, and I see him as applicable to the situation in helping both me and helping both others. So now to me it's like, okay, well, I could play video games, but like I don't need to escape to another world anymore. And I could listen to angry music, but like I know that God can heal me of the pain in my life. So I want to see him do that in me, and I want to see him do it in other people. So I'm going to be all about reaching out to my friends, loving on my friends, and communicating this message to my friends, because this is the only thing that matters. So that is what I would do differently.
One thing I realized since going to college is just people are only in your life for a short time sometimes. And I wish I had realized that some more in high school. Just going to college, the people who surround you, like in your class and on your sports teams and whatnot, they're only in your life for like a short period. Chances are you might not be able to see like the majority of the people in your life right now after you leave to go to college or move on from high school. And also at college, sometimes you leave for the semester for break and you come back and some people who you thought were coming back to school ended up changing their plans, financial reasons or whatnot, and not coming back to school. So the people you thought you'd have 4 years with, you only had 3 months with. And that just kind of hit me, just thinking about really being intentional with people, just making the most of your time with people and realizing God put those people under your, not under influence, but like in your ring of influence for a certain amount of time. And you don't know how long that time is. So just really being intentional with friendships and making time for people, like I was talking about before. And also just really praying for opportunities, like Mark was talking about earlier, just the importance of that. I remember one story, like back in high school. I worked at Chick-fil-A for a couple of years in high school, which was fun. But especially in my senior year, I wanted to make an effort just to share the gospel and reach out to some of my coworkers. And one day, it's hard while you're working because it's so busy and it's hard to find time to talk to people. But before I went to work, I just prayed. I was like, God, I really want an opportunity to talk to my friend who I know I was working with that day. And I had no idea where she stood spiritually. And I just prayed that I would have an opportunity to find out, just not necessarily share the gospel with her. That would be awesome. But just I really wanted to know where she stood spiritually, where she thought, what she thought about God. And then when I got to work later on in the evening, someone pulled through the drive-thru and she was working window and gave her a tract and gave her a gospel track, and she called me over later in that night when it was a lull between customers, and I read, and she was like, hey, Karen, can you read through this with me? And so I was able to read through the track with her, and then she told me kind of what she thought about it, and I was like, whoa, that's crazy, God. Like, before I went to work, I just asked God for the opportunity. He totally gave it to me. So I just encourage you all just to ask God, like, And pray for opportunities with your friends that even seem like it'd be impossible to get, because, and you'll be surprised like how God can work and honor that. So.
That is so true. That's really awesome. I like that story. It's funny, I think all of us kind of were thinking along the same lines. For me, it was really, if I could do one thing better, I think I did a very poor job of purposefully investing in my friends who didn't know Christ and really being around them. And, you know, there's always that tendency like, oh, well, you know, if I'm around like my non-Christian friends too much, I might start acting like them. And you are going to have to struggle. I mean, you need a good balance of friends who are believers and friends who don't know Christ, but I can't tell you how important it is that you spend time with these people. And I know for me, it would have made a big difference in just my ability to invest. And I think another thing that kind of goes along with that is missional living doesn't mean that every time you open your mouth, you're like saying like the truth of the gospel and like saying a Bible verse. A lot of times you just got to get to know somebody first before they even trust you. And that's something that I had to learn the hard way, because, you know, I was really driven in high school to like share the gospel, and that's an awesome drive, but you need to learn how to channel it into love for that person. And sometimes the best thing that you can do for someone is just be their friend till they're ready to hear what God would say to them. And that's something I'm learning more in college, and it's really gone a long way in helping me to be there for my friends who are going through rough things, and they trust me now. So they do start talking about really deep stuff with me, and it's like, wow. And then, you know, when they open up like that, it gives me an opportunity to share hope with them, truth. And at that point, it becomes, he's not trying to, like, shove something down my throat. It's, he really believes this, and he's trying to encourage me with something that might make a difference in my life. And that's a lot better than, you know, the first time you meet him just being like, do you know who Jesus is? You know, because sometimes God uses that, and that's great, but you need to be almost strategic in the way that you approach your friendships with people and not drive them away because you scare them half to death. We have kind of a problem on campus with preachers who come on and like scream at people. So I've had to learn, don't be like those guys. But you would be surprised how much people like that can actually hurt the cause of the gospel if they're not thinking about loving the people that they're speaking to. So I think that does it for the panel. So I'm going to share a verse with you, and then we're going to go into table time. And I think this is a fantastic verse that talks about our motivation for sharing the gospel. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Have we passed out the sheets with the questions on them? Okay, sweet. Basically, we've come up with three questions that we want you guys to work through at your table. But they're really for you personally to think about the people in your life that God surrounded you with that he either is or might be calling you to reach out to. I'll go ahead and read the questions while you wait so you can already get thinking about them. The first one is, who are the people around you that you need to be more intentional about reaching out to? The second is, if you are not around those who don't know Christ, what are some ways you can begin to develop friendships with them and invest in their lives? The third question is, what are some potential obstacles in life that can make it difficult for you to reach out to other students with the love of Christ, and how can you overcome those obstacles? So you guys can go ahead and start.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for gathering us together again. I know that I've missed being able to be with everybody. And Lord, thank you for giving us a time to be with family, a time to consider your very humble coming to us. And even as we've just crossed over into a new year, just the hope that we have in you and the exciting things that we know that you have ahead of us. And Father, I pray this year as we look towards the future, Lord, that we would take to heart what we've learned today. What it means to be missional, to be a person whose life reflects what they believe, and not to put our Christianity into a day a week or compartmentalize it to part of our life, but Lord, let it be all of our life. And Lord, let us not only care about those who've never heard or never received you, but also to care deeply about those who have. And Father, I pray that you will help turn our hearts more from being concerned only about ourselves to genuinely being someone that you could use in the lives of others. And Father, I pray for anyone here today who has never taken that step to personally receive that gift of eternal life, the forgiveness that we desperately need and can only find in you. Father, I pray that they would do that today. And I pray for anyone struggling even with homework today, Lord, that you give them the grace to accomplish whatever they need to, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.